Today we wanted to talk about a topic that is, that a lot of us struggle with, but more so today probably than before, the topic of anxiety. I was reading Forbes magazine this morning, and they were saying how this season, the holiday season, is what for many people intensifies sadness, depression, and anxiety. And this is where, you know, a lot of people start to kind of go into that mode. So today we're gonna talk a little bit about a topic that is well known, anxiety, and that all of us probably at some point have experienced or who are currently experiencing perhaps. And we're gonna see the source of it, where it comes from, like where anxiety comes from according to the scriptures. So the source of it, like why does it come, why does it start, where does anxiety come from? We're also going to see how Jesus talks about how we can be free from anxiety. Not only the source, but how we can actually get rid of anxiety in our lives. How we can be cured from anxiety, how we can be free from it. So we're going to look at that today. If you have your scripture, your Bibles, please open with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. That's Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, this is what it says. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus here, when he starts by saying, therefore, in verse 25, he's saying that our passage today is connecting to the previous passage. And the previous passage was about having two masters, money becoming one master, and God becoming the second master. So he's saying that passage connects with our passage today. He's explaining it through our passage, saying, therefore. So when you connect both passages, when Jesus says, you know, you can't serve two masters. You are either a slave to mammon, and the Greek is mammon, which means money or stuff, possessions. That's what it means. It's saying you can either allow stuff, possessions, money to become your God. You can be a slave to money, that can be your master, or you can have God be your master, but you can't have both. You can only have one master in life, is what Jesus is saying. And when you connect it to our passage that talks about not being anxious, it says not being anxious about your life, and then he explains what life is, what you eat, drink, and wear. So when you connect both, Jesus is saying, we become anxious when we worship stuff. What Jesus here is saying is that anxiety comes from worshiping mammon, from worshiping stuff. Anxiety, when you connect both passages, what Jesus is saying, this passage primarily is not about having our basic necessities met, like food and clothing. That's a given. This whole passage is saying, that's not the point of this passage. Like, that's a given. God will make sure that we have our basic necessities. So this is not talking about basic necessities. This passage is saying we become anxious when we want more than what God has already given us. That's when anxiety begins. It's not that God won't provide for us. It's not that we don't have challenges in life. That's not what this passage is saying. This passage is saying God will provide for basic necessities. But we fall into anxiety when we worship stuff, when we become greedy, when we make mammon, possessions, and stuff into a god, when we want more than what God has given us, when we say we don't, you know, we have everything we need, but we don't like it. We want more. Like, we want more than this. We want better than this. The moment we start to ask for more and more and more, that's the source of anxiety. That's when anxiety begins, when we make it into a god, when we make stuff, money, possessions, when we want more of it, climb higher up the ladder, just have more and more. That's what builds anxiety. When we start to worship stuff, when we make it into a god, when we make it into greed. You know, greed in the scriptures is an idol, is a false god, is a counterfeit god. Greed is this insatiable desire of I want more. I want more stuff. I want more money. I want more possession. I want bigger and better. I'm not satisfied with just the basic needs. And so we can make this into a god. And the moment we make it into a god, that's when we start to become anxious. That's when anxiety starts to come into our lives. It's not that God doesn't provide. He provides. But we become anxious when we want more. When there's an insatiable desire for more. When we make just stuff into an actual god, into greed, into a false idol. That's when the problems start to come in. That's when we fall into anxiety, worry, and fear. This is why many times when we do social media, a lot of experts are saying people who do a lot of social media, they suffer from depression. You know why? You want more. You see everything everybody else has. It's much better than what you have. It creates anxiety in you. That's what this passage is saying. When we start to worship stuff, when we make it into a god, when greed is what controls our lives through anxiety, that's what's going to happen. We're going to have anxiety when we want more. Because we have made it into an idol. We have made it into greed. We have made it into our master. It's no longer just things that we need, but it's what defines us, is our very self. And when it becomes like that, when it has godlike power over our lives, when we worship stuff, when we want more, that's when we, unfortunately, will also live with anxiety. That's what brings anxiety into our lives. A pastor, Judah Smith, that I listened to this week, just to hopefully preach a better sermon for you. I listen to so many pastors just for you, not even, I don't really like them that much, but I listen to them just to give you more and better. But anyways, he has something interesting to say, so I want to read you a quote. A little long, but this is what he said. He says, "We worry because we seek after more good food. The word seek literally means to set your heart upon. There is nothing wrong with good food and nice clothes. But something very detrimental starts to unfold in your soul, heart, in your brain, in your body when you set your heart upon things like clothing, food, status, symbol, social media. When you set your heart on these things like public perception, position, renown, and when you set your heart upon it, by the way, one of the ways you know you set your heart upon it is that it becomes your identity. It becomes what you are rather than something you are wearing or something you are eating or a job you temporarily hold. It becomes your entire identity. Jesus says, when you set your heart upon these things, many anxieties come. What he's uncovering for us, it's maybe a significant source of our worry, our fear, and our anxiety comes because we don't like the food and clothes we have. We want more. I'm not happy with what I have. I want more. That is the American way. I want more. We always want more. Success is defined by climbing the proverbial ladder. What's next for me? How can I gain more influence, more prominence? Jesus suggests that that might not be healthy in regards to your emotions and your feelings. I want more. Be very careful of that desire. That's what Jesus is saying when he talks about this passage combined with the last one where he calls stuff, money, mammon, possessions, literally our master. When we make it into a master, when it's I want more, when it's greed, that's what leads to anxiety. The problem is that nobody can see this. Nobody can see the sin of greed in ourselves. This one is hard to see. This comes from the book Counterfeit Gods that I read again for you. Although I already read it like 10 times, I read the chapter again just to give you a better concept of greed. Tim Keller says that Jesus talks about greed more than sex in the Bible, and more than sexual sin in the Bible. He mentions it more. He warns about it more. Yet, nobody thinks they're greedy. We can't see this problem. We can't see this sin. Nobody really says, I have too much. Because our hearts find a way to justify what we have. We never say, I want more or I have too much. It's very hard for our hearts to say that. It's easier for our hearts to justify and say, but I'm not doing as well as that person. I don't have as much. My car is not 2019. Or 2020, what year are we in? I don't even know what year we're in. Our heart makes it, when it comes to greed, it's easier to justify. Even though we have so much, nobody actually says, I have too much. Because we justify it by comparing ourselves with somebody that has more. But like Tim Keller says, the rest of the world is not fooled. People that come to America, they are amazed and astonished at how much wealth we have and how what we have come to call a necessity is actually, you know, something that is a luxury in other places of the world. We can't see it. We can't see it, but the rest of the world can. So this is a problem. We can't even deal with anxiety because we don't even know we have a problem. The problem that causes it. What causes it is greed, is the worship of mammon, stuff, and money, and more, and more, and more, and more. But we can't see ourselves as having that problem, so we can't have a cure. It's one of the hardest things to see in you. One of the hardest things to accept. That perhaps I might be greedy. That perhaps it's hard to see, but I might be struggling with greed, and that's perhaps the reason why I struggle with anxiety and worry. It's difficult to see, extremely difficult to see, but we have to try to uncover the blindness and see that we have a problem with greed that is very difficult to see in ourselves. And the moment we start to see that, then there's hope. And there's hope to fight against anxiety. Because where we know where it's coming from. It's coming from greed. It's coming from more. is coming from more stuff, more possessions. I just want more, more, and more. Bigger car, bigger house. There's always more. That's what's causing the anxiety. But we first have to see that we have the problem of greed. You know, a non-Christian also agrees. I was listening to a podcast this week of a non-Christian. I think he's a non-Christian, but he's a famous person, I think. His name is Ryan Holiday. He's one of the, according to the host, he's one of the greatest thinkers and writers and storytellers of our times. This is what he said. This is a non-Christian. He said, "Be happy with what you have. The desire for more is at odds with happiness." He said, the American people are very interesting, he said. He said, "We work so hard. We invest, we make so much money, we do all of these things to have more and more and more for one goal, to be happy." Everybody wants to be happy by having more, but he's saying, be very careful. Because the very thing you want, you might not have by the way that you are living. You want to be happy? If you want to have more and more and more, that doesn't lead to happiness, is what this atheist, for all I know, said. That doesn't lead to happiness. If you want to be happy, don't desire more. It's at odds with wanting more. Is what even a non-Christian sort of was able to understand. And Judah Smith said, the first world, which is us, the first world is where anxiety is astronomically high. And the third world, with less possessions and stuff, anxiety is not an epidemic. This is why when we go on mission sometimes to countries like Mexico or Africa or like the poorest areas of the world, you know what many times what Christians say, even kids, when we come back from those countries? A lot of people say, they have so little, they don't even have shoes. But why do they seem happier than me? Who have so much, we're part of the first world. Anxiety is an all-time high. And the third world, poorer countries, it's not an epidemic like it's here. And they have much, much, much less. So that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, this passage is not about having your basic needs met. That's a given, that God will take care of that. This passage is about, we become anxious because we worship stuff. We become anxious because we want more and more and more. More possessions, more stuff, more money. This is what is leading us to live in anxiety, worry, and fear. When greed becomes our master, then anxiety follows. And so that's the source. That's where it comes from. But then Jesus says, this is how something like anxiety, we can't just say, okay, you know what? I'm not going to be anxious anymore. It doesn't work that way. You can't just not be anxious. You can't just say, okay, we can't just suppress anxiety and worry. Okay, you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. No, I'm done. Have you ever tried that? Does it ever work? You know, when you think to yourself, when you say to yourself, I'm not going to think about a pink elephant, what do you do? A pink elephant comes to your brain, right? The anxiety, we can't get rid of anxiety like that. Once we know we have a problem with greed that we can't see or don't want to accept, we want to justify. But if we get to the point where we can actually accept the fact that we do struggle with greed, wanting more, and that we're perhaps a slave to it, and we want to, and that's what leads to anxiety, and we want to be free from it, the only way to be free from anxiety, according to the scriptures, is by changing masters. The only way to be free from anxiety is we can never suppress it, we can never say, I'm not going to do it. That's not how you get rid of anxiety. You get rid of anxiety by replacing masters, by replacing gods. This is what Jesus says. Do not, this is why Jesus says, instead of worrying about what you eat and drink, and instead of seeking for all these things, remember seeking, it means, the word seek means to set your heart upon these things, to make it into a God. Jesus is saying that Gentiles, non-Christians, seek after these things. You know, they have no choice but to want more and more and more and more. They have no choice because that's the only God they can worship. But Jesus here is saying, instead of seeking after these things, he says, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Set your heart on God, not on stuff. The only way to get rid of anxiety is by changing masters. No longer mammon, no longer stuff, no longer possessions. But seeking God and his kingdom and his righteousness, but having God become my master. That's the only way we can replace anxiety. If we worship mammon, money, possessions, then we become one God, one master would lead to anxiety. The other master would lead to freedom from anxiety, to anxiety, an anxiety-free life. It depends on which master we follow. And the only way to not be anxious is by changing masters. By seeking God and his kingdom and his righteousness. Setting our hearts on him. You know, this can be a little bit hard to understand. But in the simplest form, seeking God and his kingdom and his righteousness, you can think of it in this way. Make God your king. Make God your king. Let God be king over every aspect of your life. Let him rule over every aspect of your life. Let him be king. Let him be your master. Say, God, you are king over my finances, every single penny. God, you are king over the house that I have, the car that I have, the time that I have, the life that I have, my children, you know, my calling, my career. You are king. You rule. You tell me what you want me to do with these things. Be king over everything. Be king over my life. Be king over me. Rule over me, every part of me. And do as you wish with everything I have. You be king. So the way to be free from anxiety is by us stop trying to be our own kings and building our own kingdoms. That's what leads to anxiety. The way to be free from it is to let God be king and let him rule. And that releases us from anxiety. That's what Jesus is saying. The only way to get rid of anxiety is you need to replace gods. You need to change masters. You can't suppress it. You can't just say, I won't be anxious. I won't worry. It doesn't work that way. The only way to get rid of anxiety is by changing gods. And the only way to actually be able to have God be king over us, according to this passage today, is by pondering, by considering. The only way we can actually entrust God that much, completely all of our lives, to be ruler over us, to be our king, to trust him as our leader, is by pondering. It's by considering. That's why Jesus is talking about the lilies of the field, the birds of the air. When Jesus is talking about the birds, you know, who have no life insurance, who have no retirement plan, who have no jobs, but God takes care of them. He's trying to show us the power of God. When Jesus is talking about the lilies of the field, of how they're thrown away the next day, but God dresses them so beautifully. Not even Solomon, the richest man on earth that ever lived, was ever dressed like one of these lilies that are going to be wasted tomorrow. He's trying to show us God's love. He's saying, ponder, think. Think about these things. Think about how powerful God is. Think about how much God loves you. Surely God loves you more than birds. And when you start to ponder, our biggest problem is that we don't ponder. Anxiety begins because we don't take time to think. We don't take time to ponder. We don't take time to consider how much God loves us, how powerful He is, how trustworthy He is. If we knew that, we would tell Him, God, rule over me. Be my king. That's what Jesus is saying. You want God to be your king? Then you and I need to ponder, need to consider, need to take time. That's how faith grows. That's how you're able to transfer trust from mammon to God, when you realize how good and beautiful and powerful God is. That's the only way. And that's what, you know, this passage is showing us today. That if you want to be free from anxiety, your only hope is changing gods, changing masters. Mammon as a master, possession, and greed. Greed is not just love of money, it's also, you know, the anxiety over it. Like, when you have too much, you're anxious because you want to somehow keep that. When you have too little, you're anxious because, you know, you all of the worries and concerns. So greed is not just talking about the love of money. It's also talking about the anxiety that comes from trying to keep it, or the anxiety that comes from not having too much. Not being able to trust that God can provide for us. Because we don't ponder, we don't consider that He loves us more than the birds of the air. So that's how, you know, we can start to become free from anxiety. The only way is to change gods, change masters. And then, this is probably my favorite part of this passage. Jesus gives us a very practical way to not be anxious. He says, let me read it again. He says in verse 34, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Basically, this is, in my opinion, the best practical example to fight against anxiety. Basically, Jesus is saying, do you want to stop being anxious? Then live one day at a time. Then live one day at a time. The moment you start to think about future, that's when anxiety comes in. The moment you start to think about all the things that you need to build in 5-10 years from now, it cripples you. You can't do anything. It's so scary. But if you just think about, let me just make it today. Like, what are my problems today? What are my needs today? God, help me get through these things. God, provide for these things. God, I can handle one day. I can handle one day. If we live one day at a time, it's very difficult for greed to come into our lives. Greed starts to come in when we start to think about future more, bigger, better. If we live one day at a time, we get to actually focus on real important stuff. Like the people that are with me today, the people that I'm meeting today, the people that I'm serving today, my family today. If we think about future, we fantasize about something we don't have, and we give all of our energy to something we don't have, and we forget what's really important and what's here today. So, is one of the best practical examples of how to not live in anxiety. Live one day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow, just worry about today. One day at a time, one day at a time. You made it through this day, okay, let's make it another day. You know, the number one thing that probably drains pastors more than anything is the future. Is thinking, oh shoot, I gotta grow my church to 500 in 5 years. You start to live that way, you become paralyzed. You become crippled. I decided not to live that way. I decided to live one Saturday at a time. One Saturday at a time. We make it through this Saturday? Okay, let's plan for next Saturday. This Saturday, right now, who's here? Okay, let's serve them, let's love them, let's see how we can make their lives better, let's see how we can grow them spiritually as most. It's about them. It's not about the 500 people that I might never see, but I'm planning for, but it's about who's here today. Let's invest in them. Let's go one Saturday at a time, one visitation at a time, one lunch appointment at a time, and let's take it like that, one day at a time. Then there's so much joy. You actually love the people that you're with. You actually appreciate them. And it's very difficult for anxiety to cripple you or fear to cripple you. But when we start to think about future and big and start to worry about things that don't even exist yet, that might never happen, that's what usually leads to anxiety. When we want more and more and more, I want a church of 1,000 in 10 years from now. And all of our energies goes to something that doesn't even exist yet. That's usually what drains, cripples, and many times paralyzes the leaders and the ministry at least. So that's what Jesus says. Anxiety comes when we are not happy with what God has given us, and when we want more. And anxiety can only be, we can only be free from anxiety by changing masters, by not worshiping stuff, mammon, possessions, by not letting it become our master, but by seeking His kingdom and His righteousness. Let God be king. Let Him rule. Be rich towards the things of God. Notice here that Jesus is not saying to not desire more. Jesus is saying desire more of God. He said seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Desire more to be rich in Christ. Desire more to be rich in the things of God. That's what removes anxiety from our lives. You know, I have a dad, and he's 70 years old now, and he's my dad, and he's 70. I'm trying to remember the stats. He's my dad and he's 70, and he still works 12 to 15 hours a day. He's done that his whole life. He's been a workaholic. He's been a businessman his whole life. He never really, after he had me and my sister, or my sister came first, she's 5 years older, but after he had my sister and me, he never worked for anybody else. He just had his own businesses. So he kept on starting businesses and he worked very hard. All his 12 to 15 hours to this day. And he has failed a lot. He has lost a lot of wealth with his business endeavors. But he's also made a lot of wealth by the risks that he took. He's also good at what he does. I think God has given him the gift of making money. Well, he's not bad at it. He's failed many times, put us through hardships a lot of times, but he's also succeeded a lot of times. He's been able to build wealth in the past. So he's good at it. He works very hard. He's good at it. It's also his love language. That's how he shows love. Typical Asian dad doesn't know how to show love. I mean, I'm not speaking for everyone. Okay, just for me. Don't get offended. Typical Asian dad doesn't know how to spend time with his son. I don't have memories of spending time with him growing up, of talking to him, of ever hearing from him, I love you. I've never really spent time with him growing up. But I have a lot of memories of him using a lot of money to send me to all the best schools in Ecuador, all the private schools. a lot of money to put, like, fly me all over the world so I can see the world and do something big when I get older. And I have a lot of memories of him taking us to the best restaurants, the most expensive ones, to give us the best food, and ultimately sending us to the best country in the world so we can find most success. California. That's his love language. He never said, I love you, but with his money, he tried to give us the best. And I appreciate so much, now that I'm a little bit older, actually. I didn't see it, you know, back then. But now I appreciate everything he's done to give us the best, to my family and I, so much. I appreciate him so much. And today I have a very good relationship with him. It took bankruptcy for us to start talking and actually, you know, as a family, interact. That was a blessing in disguise. Bankruptcy. Okay, we have no choice but to try to figure out how to make it together as a family. So let's talk. So we're now close, and I call him every week at least once or twice. We talk for 20, 30 minutes. We are very close. I love my dad to death. My dad is the hardest working man I have ever seen in my life, that I personally know. But he's also a slave of money. His whole life, he's only been pursuing money. And because of that, he's all the great things that I said, but also the only memory that I have of my dad is of an anxious man. Anxiety has followed him everywhere we have gone. Literally, he has to take medication he can't sleep well. He has to wake up every day at 2 in the morning because of all the worries and anxieties that he has. This is my memory of him. A man who is remarkable in so many ways, who has worked so hard to give us all the best, but who's also had money as his master, and that's led him to live as an anxious man. His whole life. So every day for the past few years, I've been praying for my dad. And I've been praying, God, I want him to stop. Can you please stop him from living this way? Because nobody can stop him. My whole family, we've tried to tell him, can you just retire? Can you just stop trying to make more money? Can you just slow down? Can you just come to the U.S. and live with your family? He never listens. And then he works in Mexico, in an area where he's surrounded by drug dealers and gangs, where it gets more and more dangerous every year. This year, he had to hire security guards 24/7 to be with him, and he had to pay the local police to come and patrol his workplace because it's getting more and more dangerous. Even though his life is at risk, and he could literally go through anything, you know, at any time, he refuses to stop working. Because he's more anxious about money than about drug dealers and somebody killing him. He fears more not having control over money than actually fearing people that have guns that can actually harm him. He can't let go. So I have been praying for many, many years. God, I want him to stop. I want my dad to stop. I don't want to remember him. I don't want my memory of him being of somebody that was anxious his whole life. I don't want my memory of him being of somebody that lived in anxiety his whole life. I want him to meet Jesus and live for Jesus. I want him to, this is my desire, I tell God, I want him to experience true riches. At least the last few years that he has on earth, I want him to not live for money,
But I wanted, and because of that, live anxious his whole life. I wanted to live for Jesus and have joy and peace. Every day I pray, God, can you please remove money as a master over his life? And can you please bring Jesus to become the master of his life? Because that's the only way he's going to let go. That's the only way. Just like Zacchaeus in the Bible. Remember, Zacchaeus was blinded to greed. He betrayed country and family for money. And how was he freed from his blindness? And how was he freed from the love of money and from, you know, extorting more and more money from his own people? How did it happen? It only happened when Jesus became his greater treasure. That allowed him to let go of lesser treasure. Remember, when he experienced the grace of Jesus, everybody hated Zacchaeus. His own people told him, betrayer, you betrayed your country, you betrayed your family to collect taxes from your own people. You are from Rome, you are trash. Everybody hated him, he didn't care. As long as he lived comfortably and rich, he didn't care. He was blinded to greed. But then one day he meets Jesus. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down to that tree, you short man. And let's go into your house. Let's have a meal. In those times when somebody said to you, let's go into your house and let's have a meal, what they meant was, I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. When Zacchaeus experienced that kind of grace and love, for the first time, somebody wanted to actually be his friend. Jesus, knowing all that he knew about Zacchaeus, he said, Zacchaeus, I want to be your friend. Let's go into your house and have a meal. That kind of encounter with Jesus, when he experienced that kind of grace, a sinner like him, he changed it. It changed him. Remember what he did? He said, Jesus, today I'm giving 50% of everything I owe to the poor. Remember? Money is no longer has a grip in his heart. He said, 50%, I'm giving it to the poor. The Mosaic law only asked to give 10%. Zacchaeus is being overwhelmingly, lavishly generous. He's giving 50% when the scriptures only require 10%. He's giving 50%. And then he's saying, everyone that I stole from, everybody that I wronged, I'm going to give 4 times in return. The Mosaic law only said to give back 20% of restitution if you wrong someone. Zacchaeus is saying, I'm giving back 300% to anybody that I stole from. What is Zacchaeus saying? He's saying, Mammon, money, not my master anymore. It doesn't have a grip on my soul and my heart. I can give it all away. This is a sign of somebody who's experienced grace and salvation. Jesus said, salvation has come to this home. When you experience grace, a natural sign that comes out of that is generosity. When you haven't experienced grace, you just try to hold on to everything. You try to be stingy. You know, I don't have time for you. I don't have money for you. It's all mine. But when you experience grace, you're lavishly generous. When you meet Christ, experience the grace of Christ, that's what happens. You're set free from a master called money, mammon, possessions, and greed. And Jesus takes over. You can let go of lesser treasure because Jesus becomes your greatest treasure. And that's why I've been praying for my dad. I've been praying, God, before it's too late. Before it's too late, I want to see my dad go to church, not because my mom nags him to go every week, even though he doesn't want to go to. I want to see him be rich in Christ. I want to see my dad go because he wants to go. Like 30 minutes before worship starts, he's there praying, he's singing, because he just loves being in the presence of Jesus. I want to see my dad, while he still has health and he still has time, I want to see him not work anymore, but I want to see him go on missions. I want to see him go to Israel and take a trip to Israel. I want to see him be part of his local church and join a Bible study and grow and then teach him. I want to see him experience those kinds of riches. No longer anxiety because he has to hold on to this money, mammon, and possession. He doesn't have that much time. Why in the world is he living for that anyways? The remainder of his life, before it's too late, I would like to see that kind of grace fall upon the life of a man that has given so much to my family and I. That's what I ask God for. That's what I pray for. I want to see him be free because Jesus has become his true treasure and he has become his King. And I want to see you being free from anxiety and have peace and joy for the rest of your life as you also invite Jesus to become your King. And as Jesus takes over your life completely, and as he becomes your true treasure, your greatest treasure. Let's pray.